dear Svaru. How are you? Today, let's talk about the subject of families. Let's see where it takes us. First, I would like to know how we, as souls, choose the families we are in, and why.
Hello, Gosha. It is said that we all choose our families because of the contrast they will give us all in our life experience, Earth and elsewhere. For example, you went into a very religious family, so you have the contrast to be able to be who you are today. Again, the main reason is simply a match in frequency with the one you have right before you incarnate. Frequency can also be seen as your intention and the place or level your consciousness is on, your focus point, your interests. So, as with so many things, it's a simple reason, frequency match. But the why you had the frequency match, that's the complicated part. It's the result of the point you are in consciousness as the result of all the previous life experiences you've had before. Yet, that's seeing things in a linear way, as all the experiences of all the lifetimes all are occurring at the same time simultaneously. But the whole is also made by the individual parts, and those are the individual experiences. That's about the match. But then, there is another level, and that is an agreement each person made with the soul group they are in. To go into physicality to play certain roles, because they've known each other for a long time before incarnating, moving together incarnation after incarnation. Yet sometimes, or more often than not, a soul fragment will stray away from the rest because it remembered that it came from a different past or background, and the company of the soul group it was in no longer serves its expansion. And expansion of consciousness is the only thing a soul really wants. It will drop away and move next to another group that is a better frequency consciousness match to them. At one point or another in your soul's expansion journey, you were a perfect match with your family. That's why you ended up there.
I understand. To go back to the beginning of this and the contrast we came in for as one of the reasons for choosing a certain family to be born into, if there is a contrast, is there still a frequency match? Can there be a match in a contrast?
Yes, because it matches your intention, be it in that moment or further on during your life experience.
This could also explain then why we end up in relationships with people who are so different than us, right? Like in the case of my ex-partner.
Yes, but there are other factors, like having changed yourself after the relationship started.
Okay, and do we always choose the same family members, life after life? Do we follow them around, or they are always new?
It depends only if they are a match for you. So people, souls, do change, and they remain close to one another only if there is a common interest. The common interest may be simply love and attachment.
All right. And how true is what some believe that we will reunite again with our family members after death? Will we ever? Or once we are done here, it's done?
Yes, you can meet them, but that's more complicated than what it seems at first sight. Because on one hand, we have what I said above, that you change, and so you no longer want to be close to those people with whom you were close to before. And on the other hand, life is just a play. Incarnation is just a play. 3D, 5D, it's the same. So in the afterlife,
People who are very antagonistic to each other may very well be very good friends, because the values change a lot between the programmed mind subconscious within a physical life and your core values you have as a soul in the afterlife. As the experience in physicality is real, that means that souls do change. They do have different priorities and points of view that are the result of their last incarnation. You remain yourself in the purest state when you are in the afterlife. It's the real you, with no subconscious physical mind baggage to deal with, and with which we are all always in conflict with when we are alive. So souls do drift apart as people do when they are living. Afterlife, you mean the next incarnation or some kind of period in between? I mean during the point in between. But when we meet them there, can we recognize them? Also, if they are already incarnated into another life, we won't meet them there anymore. Or my thinking is too linear? Yes, you do recognize each other in the other side. And you even discuss what happened during the incarnation. You do have a social life while in the afterlife, between incarnations. What? In what body? It is drifting a little bit from the topic of families, but it is fascinating. Tell me more about the afterlife period, please. And is there a pizza there too? No. Bummer. The reason you incarnate is to be able to eat pizza. So, what's in the afterlife then? Just a floating spirit? In what body are we? It's an immediate manifestation of whatever is in your frequency mind. Even pizza, yes, but it does not taste right. When you are in the higher realms, you manifest everything immediately. What you think becomes. You are happy on the beach, enjoying the wind and the sea. Then you get bored and you think of wanting to be in a forest, and you are there. Then in a pizza place, and suddenly you are there. So the people, the souls that are interested in the beach, the forest or the pizza will be with you. The ones that like other things will not. What density is it? Contrary to what you are told on Earth in countless channels and essays, you are not in one density or another. You are in all at once. It's you who is moving it all, controlling it all. It's not a density. It's a state of absolute freedom. You are everywhere. You are everything you like only by shifting your point of attention. So it's back to the source. Yes, this is source. You want to be a flower, you are. A star, you are. No words ever can suffice to describe that state. You can be one thing, a little animal in a faraway planet, and at the same time you are aware of everything. So why you come out of that state then again at all? Isn't the purpose of it all to go back to the source? So why do we incarnate again? Because as you are everything, you finally get bored. It's that simple. You need emotion. You need to feel limited, to concentrate in one point of attention at a time, to be able to fully enjoy and feel the experience, grow from it, from contrast. So, for a little period of time, from the perspective of the source you are that little animal in a faraway planet, and your attention is locked in that creature until its time is up. As source, you are everything, including being locked in the consciousness of that little animal making its way through a forest. You are source. You are both free to be everything, and you are also locked into the creature. When you are in the afterlife and in source consciousness, you jump your point of attention wherever you want. You can be that little animal and any other. Because you are all the creatures with consciousness at once. They are all you. You can also be a person on earth for a while and then jump your attention to another. They are all you.
Wow, it's pretty complicated. And complicated because I don't understand what it means you can go and be a person for a while. Or go and be an animal for a while. I thought you said some time ago that once we passed through the animal experience, we don't go back there, as it doesn't provide any new expansion for us. Or am I thinking linear again? And for a while, you mean incarnate for a full lifetime?
You can be any person for a while or for a whole lifetime. That's what it is to be incarnated. And yes, that's correct. We don't go back. Why would you want to? Yet, having said that, why not be a squirrel for an hour? You can. For a lifetime? No thanks.
But how for an hour? You enter the squirrel's soul, merge with it?
From source's point of attention, it's just a shift. From the animal's point of attention, it's a lifetime.
Okay. Perhaps we should go back to the topic of families in the afterlife. What I don't understand is, once they died, our family members, and left to incarnate somewhere else, how can we meet them there?
There is no time. So you can and do talk to them in the afterlife, and even if they are still alive. And this is because they go there while they sleep. When you see a dead relative in your sleep, you really are with them.
So, if I am dead to someone, I died to them and they are still alive, they are sleeping, they can talk to me in their sleep, with me being already in another incarnation?
All the above. It's just a shift in consciousness, point of attention. You are always dead and alive. But better said, you are always spirit, a soul, source, and everything physical, like an incarnation, is only a manifestation and idea you had as source.
I never understood how someone can try to get in touch with their dead relative if that dead relative is already incarnated somewhere else. Now it is clearer to me.
That's because over there is no time. Time as such is only relative and only is perceived in a linear way from the point of view from within an incarnation. You are always source. As I always say, the only thing that limits you is the idea that you are limited.
Okay, and then once we are in afterlife, do we always talk to our family members there? I mean, will I talk to David, my ex-partner, for example, there? Or it's not a rule? I really want to tell him, I told you, there is life after death.
It's not a rule. It depends on you guys alone. Every relationship is different as it is while you are incarnated. And you could tell him that if you find him. He doesn't even know there is life after death.
No, he doesn't believe it. He believes there is nothing.
But there is proof all over. That's so basic.
He doesn't know there is proof. Not interested. Anyway, so we can meet our family members there and talk to them.
Yes, your loved ones. But not necessarily. It depends on each situation. Both must want to meet again, as it is anywhere else. You energetically look for each other, so you manifest your presence to one another. Manifest because it's immediate. There is no traveling to see them, unless you want to.
So it's not like you need to find each other in the ocean of souls there.
No, you are just there, in the instant you want to live, and from there on you feel time as a linear course of events. But only there. All you both need to do is want to find someone and you will be there. That's how it works. But if what you want is to look within an ocean of souls, then that's what you will experience. That's why it's so important to control what you really want. Have things clear all the time. And that's also why many people on Earth are not ready to go back to Source, or they will manifest horrible situations for themselves, as they do all the time. Therefore, all the suffering of the real people on Earth. And how do we communicate with our family members there if we don't have bodies, or do we manifest any body we want, or is it just telepathically? You have the illusion that you have a body, if that's what you want. It feels exactly the same as when you have a body. Because then again, that's exactly the situation you and I and all the rest are in now, including the ones that don't believe. The only difference is that there you know what's going on, so you can control it. There you communicate telepathically, but you can talk if you like. Very interesting all this. Thank you for explaining. Now, so, once in the afterlife, if you decide to incarnate again, you choose your new family, yes? Yes. And you know what will happen in your lifetime. But then you choose to forget the plot, or else there would be no point in living it. Okay, and from what you told me about reincarnation cycles earlier, I understand that your father, for example, could have been your sister some other time before. Yes, that's a constant. Your father being your sister, then your mother, then you, etc. Usually on Earth, a soul's point of attention will wait 2 generations before re-entering physicality. So it's quite certain to say that someone is their own great-grandfather. It is a pattern souls tend to follow, but it's flexible, it's not a law. Like some kind of a loop? Yes, the loops are another way of describing the dynamics. The loops occur when a soul gets obsessed with trying to do things right next time round, for example. This is especially evident with suicide victims. They repent and go back again and again until they understand that they must learn to let things go. I understand. Now, let's go back from afterlife to Earth. How important would you say is our family relation while here? Or is it purely the means through which we pop out here and then it's okay to let go? Only as important as you want it to be. If a family member, even father or mother, is hindering your happiness and personal growth, you can shut them off your life with no consequences except the ones you take upon yourself. Many families are just genetics and forced social agreements, but hold nothing in common, hence their constant fighting. This is very common when someone awakens. An either me or them situation arises. Either I behave like my family expects me to, or I go rogue and follow my own path. How do we deal with the family when we woke up and they didn't? When you believe certain things and they don't? First of all, you must understand where each family member is regarding their spiritual awakening. You can offer conversation topics, but that's all you can do. You should only expand on those topics when the other person asks for more. I know people who awaken go through certain phases. One of them is to want to tell everyone what they are experiencing. They also may want to awaken everyone to what they found out. All the things that are wrong in the world. Things that no one sees while asleep. But unless those people are willing and prepared to awaken, there is nothing you can do. And insisting about talking to them about any topic concerning awakening, conspiracy theories, extraterrestrials, ghosts, crystals, tarot cards, Loch Ness monsters, will only turn you into an annoyance for them. I insist, this is a phase only. Later, the awakening person will understand that there is nothing they can do about others. Offer them another point of view, yes, but only that. So in the end, what they should do is keep those things to themselves and not share with family if they are known to be not receptive. Family and friends as well. But friends that are no longer in the frequency and no longer have the same interests as the awakening one will simply drift away. Lovers and husbands as well. But a father, mother, brother, sister, those can be a problem. They are not easy to cast off, even if you want to. But the first problem is making up your mind if you want to or not. But they can be an even bigger problem if you are young enough to depend on them, live under their roof. This because they will feel the right to mess with your life, because they are your parents, brothers and sisters after all. So you must be strong and understand for yourself that it's not your responsibility to awaken your parents, your family, and that it's in your best interest to keep everything for yourself as much as possible. I say as much as possible because it's quite impossible to hide everything about what's going on inside you. For example, you certainly will want to stop eating meat, and they will want to push it upon you. And perhaps you may even end up inventing a clever reason why you no longer want to, knowing that they cannot handle your elaborate spiritual reasons not to. And in the case of brothers and sisters, they also can be trouble, even while not under the same roof, because, as they say, they always know how to push your buttons. My advice is that if you see problems coming from family, just keep your awakening for yourself. It's not your responsibility to awaken them. The only real responsibility you have is with yourself and yourself alone. If you truly want to, then speak up. But be intelligent with what you say. Sometimes I feel I should share more. Try to open people a bit, because if they are not given an alternative, they won't even know it exists. But I don't do that because I don't feel like getting into discussions and class one types of talks like, aliens are real? How do you know? Oh, where shall I start? So I better not say anything at all. Okay, yes, you can offer them an alternative. But above, what I mean is how to deal with family members that you have already proven for yourself that they are not receptive. And is it okay to continue living with a husband, wife, partner who doesn't support your cosmic views? Does it inhibit your growth? Do you think that being with someone who does not follow the ET subjects and spiritual subjects can slow your transition? Or it doesn't matter? Again, it depends on each situation. But with husbands and boyfriends, it's very hard to continue together if not in the same wavelength. It can slow you down, or it can stop your evolution completely. But as usual, it depends on each situation. And what happens when you are a parent and your children don't believe in anything? Just let them evolve on their own? Just offer again? Then you call them disobedient and you send them off to bed with no supper. No, okay, just joking. Just offer again, yes. They are just more people. If they are very young, the younger, the more receptive they are, generally speaking. But as a parent of, say, teenagers or young adults still living with you, remember or take in account that they are in a stage in life where what they most want is to fit in. So ET, spiritual stuff, will only make them feel out of place in society, awkward, when what they want is to be accepted by their peers. This is a very difficult subject because it depends on every situation in particular. It's a delicate balance between offering them other perspectives and respecting their points of view in life. For example, a young guy that only talks about aliens and conspiracy theories will find it very hard to find a girlfriend, again, depending on the situation. I see. And what are soul families? What are they? Soul families are a name to designate a group of souls that tend to incarnate together, wherever that may be. But it's also the group a soul has been with most of its evolution. Why are they together? And do they incarnate at the same time? Usually because they know each other and they have the same interests, or because they are fragments of the same one or are the same soul. Do they incarnate at the same place? Close enough to find each other? Yes to both questions. Or to have a shared experience, to continue together. How many of them can there be in a group? Unlimited amount. Mostly they are in the same soul spiral as described by me before. They are all fragments of the same. That's why they look for each other anyway. And they go through the same experiences or can be different? Both. Impossible for millions of them, if there are millions of them in a group, to have the same experience, no? Don't think linear. It is possible. Unlimited amount of timelines, all of them interconnected and very similar. Unlimited. Okay. Thank you, Svaru, for your time again. I am sure what we talked about today will help many people, as a lot of us have a problem with the family members and friends who don't share our passion for these topics. Respect them all in their own journey. They are all you, too.